Fran Wellington, who can't make it.
Okay. Fran Winnings and?
I think she said that Fran could not make it.
Oh.
Okay, well, we have a pretty packed agenda, so I would propose that we get started. Steve Metallis has joined us, yes? Okay. Well, the first, and I haven't heard George, but I know he's on. The first topic is to, the basic agenda.
Hello?
Yes, hi.
This is Milton.
Hi, Milton. We're just starting on the agenda here.
Okay.
We have representatives from every constituency but the Beast and the NISD. So what we're going to cover today is we're going to discuss the work staff has done on the report to the council, and actually there was a preliminary draft, I think, that was circulated. Then we'll talk about the status of the complaints to the ombudsman, and related to that is the creating a list of questions for staff on the conflict of national law. Then we'll talk about a little bit of the accuracy issue for Cape Town. Also try to get into some issues that are arising out of last week. And finally, even though it's not on the agenda, we need to talk about what's going to happen in Argentina. So is there anything else that anybody wants to add to that?
Greg Ruth's running.
Okay. Hi, Greg.
Hi.
Okay, so why don't we just start, and Maria, you're on the call, correct?
That's right, yep.
Do you want to just go into the statement that you sent around to the group?
Sure. I just sent around, it was only about 3 or 4 hours ago, our Glenn sent around for me a draft of the Who Is summary document and the staff is preparing. Basically, it's about a 5-page document, and what it does is sketch out what the final document is going to include. It just starts out with saying what the aim of the document is, which is to recommend implementable new Who Is improvements and report to the ICANN board at Mar del Plata. Then it goes through just 3 little bullets about what the process is going to be. That is to say that I have drafted the first draft of this, which is, I'm sorry to say, not as detailed a draft as I'd hoped to provide by now, but it is an outline draft with most of the topics name-checked in it. Then the next step in the process is, following our discussion here tonight, there will be hopefully suggestions and revisions, and also people will be able to email them to me via Glenn on the GNS on the Who Is list. And finally, following revisions, we will be submitting the document to the ICANN board meeting in Mar del Plata. So I'm not going to go through the entire document, and my apologies to those of you who haven't received it in time to digest it properly for this call. Basically, what it does is try to name some of the main documents which need to have their main conclusions or findings summarized in this document. It goes through the two the recommendations for notification and consent, and also the draft procedure for, or the procedure for conflict with local laws, and then the various other Who Is preliminary reports from last year. It references one or two external documents, such as the Article 29 Working Party paper from 2003. And then it goes through the ICANN main missions and goals. And what I've also included here is a suggestion that we have, we state what is the purpose of Who Is in relation to ICANN's overall goals. And there is a suggested definition which Bruce Tonkin has provided, which is that Who Is should provide contact information adequate to facilitate the timely resolution of any problems that arise in connection with the registered name. That is a good starting off point. And finally, sorry, can everyone hear me there?
No, there's a lot of background noise.
I'm going to try and speak loudly and fairly clearly. Finally, the last couple of sections of the document are to provide background on the current contractual requirements in the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, to identify which issues are within ICANN's scope and which are not in relation to Who Is, That's really a $6 million question, so people's input on that is will be welcome. I'll also be consulting in-house with our legal advisors on what their thoughts on that are, but obviously this is a consensus document. Finally, we go through the current SUIS work items, and then the end of the document really to summarize existing points on SUIS, and then to provide whatever recommendations as are possible to the board for the Mar del Plata. And that is basically the summary of the document. So what it is basically it sets out each of these sections, and where I've managed to do some drafting already, it's in there, and then what's there already, people's input is very, very welcome indeed.
Okay. Thanks, Maria. Just before we go on, just a couple people joined.
Yes, yeah. I joined Tom Keller. Yeah. Sorry for being late.
Okay, sorry, we've got Tom Keller as well.
Is somebody on an ocean front watching the waves flop on the shore, or is there some other kind of background noise that we're...
Yeah, I have a feeling that might be Bruce you saw.
Bruce is on the beach?
I think he was on a cell phone.
Yeah, well, it seems like somebody was on a cell phone.
Okay.
Got a little better, but I think we need Bruce back on, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope I didn't chase him off.
Okay, so we got Tom Keller and Ken Stubb just joined. Anyone else? Okay, so Maria, thank you for that explanation of the document. I was hoping Bruce would be on so he could go into a little bit of background about why this document was being created, and basically it's to try to organize our thoughts a little bit better. And you know, there's a lot of information that we have, and it's trying to bring it all together in some sort of organized fashion. Is that correct, Maria?
Sure, that's absolutely right. I mean, the one thing I can bring to this is a fresh pair of eyes, but I must say there were an awful lot of documents to get through, so you know, people's judgment and advice on which are the absolutely crucial points and documents would be very welcome.
Okay, and again, this is all just kind of a starting point. It's not, so the definition that Maria's got in the document is not a final definition. It's not even close to final. It's just kind of a springboard so that we can start discussion. Does anybody have questions for Maria?
Yeah, Nicholas here. I just have a question, a point of clarification. I was wondering, Maria, is this the document that was basically mentioned by Bruce at the GNSO meeting on the 17th of February, and that was then requested by the whole GNSO Council? Is this that document?
Right, sorry, that's the exact same document, yep.
Okay, because then I don't know what other things, but I have the feeling that the aim of the document, as you write it in this outline, is much narrower than what was actually, I think, foreseen by the GNSO. Because as I remember our conversation on February 17th, we were basically looking at drawing up what would be some kind of consolidated document that would bring together the whole WHOIS discussions, past issues report, current debates, options on the table, levels of support, etc. And I have the feeling here that when stating that the aim is just to recommend implementable new WHOIS improvements and report to ICANN board at April 2005 meeting in Mar del Plata, we have a aim that is much narrower what was actually foreseen by the GNSO on February 17th. I don't know what others think about it.
Nicholas, if I can come back to you there, if this is not precisely what was sketched out, then I have to say the mistake is mine. I mean, I'm just really trying to put together what was asked for, so I will make sure the document is in line with that. And basically, anything in the way of recommendations towards the end of the document is a bonus, but absolutely the main aim of this is to really, in some respect, a historic document, but also something that goes through all of the main developments with a view to seeing where we are today. So I'll make sure that the document reflects what you've added there.
Yeah, Maria, this is Jordan. I think one. Sorry.
Deal with another question.
Yeah, Thomas. Let me jump in, then I'll pass it to you. But Maria, I think one sort of thing that's missing from this, and to reflect, maybe this coincides with what Nicholas is saying, is that, for example, we have the recommendations relating to consent and notification to registrants, which have not been part of an official report or anything yet. And I think part of the purpose of this document was to capture sort of a historical and factual record of the work that's been done to date, including, you know, reflecting those recommendations and the various constituency statements that have been made, both for and against. So that just seems like one example of something that we may need to work in here. But I agree with Nicholas. I think my understanding matches his, that this is supposed to, the aim here is to provide a document that reflects upon the work of the various WHOIS task forces to date, including the current one.
Got that. Thanks, Jordan.
Thomas?
Another question for clarification. In the process, Thomas Prime, the document currently says submission of document to April 2005 and board meeting. Is that meant as a placeholder for the minor proper meeting overall, or is the intent here to submit the document to the board?
Could somebody who I can hear restate what Thomas said?
Again.
No, don't you, Tom, don't you bother.
I think the issue is that, Bruce, you're back on?
Yes.
Is there a way you can put it on mute for a sec? There we go.
That's clear.
Get back. Thomas, can you speak up a little bit?
Is this better?
Yes.
Oh, that's much better, Thomas.
Yeah, that's much better.
Okay, let me try again. I'm sorry. What I was asking is, on the process bullet point, the document currently says submission of document to April 2005 ICANN board meeting. Is that meant as a placeholder for the model plot of meetings overall, or is this document really addressed to the board itself?
Yeah, Marie, do you want to answer that, or do you want us to step in?
Maybe Bruce could step in, because I have to say, in retrospect, I'm a bit unclear about that.
I think, Bruce, you still on?
Oh, he's pretty muted, isn't he?
Yeah. I guess my impression, and this is my impression, was that it wasn't really supposed to go to the board, but it's really a report to the council. And someone jump in if I'm wrong. I wasn't on that council meeting.
Yeah, I think that's correct, Jeff. The part of the intent here is to get the process in line with the PDP, which does require a formal report with certain elements be submitted to the council for action before it can go to the board, especially if it wants to be acted upon as consensus policy.
Right, so I think it may be a little premature to actually say it's going to go to the board, because I don't think any policy by that time is going to be ready to go to the board. I don't think. Given that that's only 20-something days away. Okay, so Maria, you'll change that to, I guess, reflect the council rather than the board?
I'll change that straight away.
Yeah, great. And I think the most important thing, and Maria, thanks for getting this out, is, again, it's a kind of a straw man, and we need to provide any comments that we have on the document. And the best place to provide is on the list, obviously, because not everyone can be on the calls, and it's much easier to have your thoughts expressed in the document. So if you could send Maria any questions or comments, just change it. Send it around to the list. Are there any other questions on this document?
Yeah, I do have a question.
Sure, Tom.
I'm a little bit unclear about the whole purpose, what the council is trying to reach with that. Unfortunately, I have to admit that I haven't been on that council call, but is the council going to act on this paper, or is it just a procedural thing to get on track again? I'm kind of confused about that point.
Yeah, I would say that's up to the council. is all I can. I mean, for example, I know our recommendations on, on notice. The two constituencies that had concerns about that at in the task force level were the registries and the registrars, and so it probably if the those same concerns were expressed in terms of those constituencies voting against it at the council level, probably wouldn't really be actionable as a consensus policy, but it would be up to the council as to whether or not they decided to try to advance that or not. Amongst various other proposals, I guess, that hopefully will get worked into this document as a result of the consultation with the staff on the local law procedure and anything else we do in terms of secured access and so on. Accuracy.
But given that Argentina is less than a month away, I'm not sure that there'll be in this by Argentina any recommendations to the council other than more of a status report.
Yeah, I would be surprised if the council is ready to take action in Mar del Plata.
Jordan, it's Bruce Tonkin speaking. Can I comment?
Yes, I think you would be very good to comment on this, Bruce.
Look, I think what we've got to be conscious of is we have yet to actually put a document out for full public comment. So as part of the bylaws process, we need to create a initial report, and I think that's what Maria is basically intending to work on. That report is not something that's voted on by the council. All the council needs to say is, this report is ready, it has all the sections and meets all the requirements of the bylaws for an initial report, and then it would go through to the public. That initial report can document for any particular, draft recommendation, what the level of support is, and so it would be appropriate for those that, let's say, we're talking about the current first recommendation, you could document and say that these three constituencies or these two constituencies are currently supporting this position. These two constituencies are not, and this is why. And then it's open for the public comment, because at that stage you can then have a debate in more of an ICANN Mar del Plata format and say, well, here's where the pros and cons. We're still looking for input from the public, and hopefully you would then refine that recommendation given the public input. So that's the right process. The process is not for the task force to say, well, we haven't got 100% agreement, therefore we won't do anything more.
Thanks, Bruce.
Does anybody have any other questions on this? Okay, with that in mind, I think let's go on to the next subject on the agenda, which is to talk about the complaint that was filed with the Ombudsman. George, you want to talk about the complaint, and I can talk about a conversation that I had?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that I've provided information to the list that that mostly sums up where we are, but the complaint was acted upon by the Ombudsman. He did, I gather, talk to the General Counsel and various other members of the staff, and did get the General Counsel to agree to join us on a call a week from today, provided that we provide a list of questions in advance that can be that we would like to be addressed by the staff, so that they can be prepared for that call. So that's a brief summary. I think the Ombudsman route, as suggested by Steve and later endorsed by Milton, turned out to be very productive and seemed to secure us a meeting quite quickly.
Yeah. So in continuation with that, I guess, I had a conversation with John Jeffrey on this, and if you recall, there was basically what this all stems from is a letter or an email sent on December 20th from Paul to the group, and it was 6 points raised by the ICANN on the conflict with national laws statement that we had put out before the Cape Town meeting. So John, basically, we set up a call for next week at the same time, next Tuesday, the 15th, with a promise that we would get to him, to John and Dan and to Paul, and basically the ICANN staff, a list of the issues, questions that we would have so that they can adequately prepare for the call. And I know we had a lengthy discussion on this in Task Force 1 and 2, and we were joined. So basically what we'll have to do over the next couple of days is put together a document that lists our questions out. It's not the most ideal way to deal with the situation, since basically it was kind of 6 points from them to us, and the overall question, you know, is why was it injected at this point in the process and why not earlier on? But, you know, with that being said, what I'll try to do is, and Glenn, are you still on the call?
Yes, I am, Jeff.
Is there a way you could resend out that email to the group, to people who may not have kept it?
The original one that was sent out?
Yeah, it was December 20th, 2004.
Yes, I'll send that, resend that out.
Okay, great.
Jeff, this is Milton.
Sure, Milton.
I just would suggest, can I have a green light from you to send you some questions, which I would copy to the list that you might also want to include?
Yeah, absolutely. This is absolutely. Anybody has got any questions on it, please send it to Jordan and I. Jordan and I will compile. We're gonna compile our own questions from that day and then submit the list. And always feel free to add to it, suggest any modifications. But I think what we need to keep in mind is, We gotta do our best to make it a productive call. We don't want the ICANN staff to feel like they have to basically be very defensive. We want to encourage a productive conversation and figure out a way to move forward. But if our questions are phrased more as to attacking, I think we're not gonna get to where we want to be. Jordan, you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that's a fair summary of the approach.
Just a matter of information. When we discuss these questions, and of course I'm not going to ask any questions that are designed to put them on the defensive, but to elicit information about what's actually going on here. But, I mean, are we able to follow up on these questions? Is this like an extremely formalized process in which they respond to our written questions and that's it?
No, I anticipate this being a fluid process. So if we have questions as a result of after our discussion, we talk about the issue more and have further questions, I'm sure they will take those questions by email and join future calls. The other thing that we really need to keep in mind is the issue that was discussed is you got to remember that John Jeffrey and Dan Halloran act as general counsel for the ICANN. So to the extent that some of the questions may be asking legal advice on behalf of registrars, we need to minimize that because there's no real way that they can answer those questions.
Definitely. I know that's one of their main concerns is this business of acting as a lawyer.
On behalf of
registrars.
Jeff, Bruce Tonkin, if I can speak in the queue.
Sure, Bruce, let me see. Does anybody else have to? Bruce want to? Okay, Bruce.
I think a couple of comments. First, I think what we should be treating the questions as questions where we're seeking the staff to do some preparation. But I think there definitely needs to be a conference call where we have a chance to have a dialogue with those questions. So it shouldn't, as Milton's saying, shouldn't just be we write something, they write something back, because I think there needs to be discussion on it. The second point, which I raised with Paul Verhoef today, and I think we should be pushing this more generally, is there does need to be a separation in roles, I think, within ICANN between the general counsel of ICANN, the organisation, and legal support for the policy development processes, because I think they're two different roles. I think the policy development process and the GNSO does need to be getting legal advice on a range of policy issues that it's advice to the GNSO. In other words, we need our own legal counsel effectively. That doesn't mean it's legal counsel to an individual registrar or even to an individual constituency. But I think we should be entitled to the GNSO process through the council down to the task force, being able to request advice from council. Now, if I can't do that internally, then we should push to be able to brief external advice on some of these things, because it can't work that we can only deal with ICANN in the sense of the corporate organisation.
That's a good point.
And what was the response that Paul gave you?
He's agreeing with me, and he says one of the issues is resourcing within ICANN. You know, it's one of these priority things, but I think we need to make that, you know, as part of the strategic planning and operational planning processes clear. Well, I guess I'm seeking the support of members of this of the council and the task force for requesting that resource, because I don't think the process is working at the moment. You know, John and Dan are fully engaged, basically doing legal work in a corporate sense. In other words, they're negotiating contracts with registry operators. They're you know, basically doing contractual work. And then they're treating this discussion as a contractual discussion between some members of the GNSO that may be in legal discussions with ICANN, the corporate organisation.
So you're talking about another staff person?
Yes, either another staff person or the ability to use an external counsel. But I'm basically saying that I believe that we need a staff person that is assigned to provide legal advice to the policy development process.
Okay. So did he give you kind of a... So that's probably something that's going to be down the road. I can't imagine that's something that's going to be...
That's quite correct, Jeff, but I'm just picking up on the comment that you have made and Milton has made, that you're saying that John is constrained in what he says because he's acting as the corporate counsel for ICANN, which is in contractual discussions with many members of the GNSO.
Correct. So questions like, you know, to give you an example, if we ask a question that says, well, what does a registrar do if the ICANN contract is illegal in their, you know, according to their own national laws, how can they enter into the agreement? Well, you know, you're going to get a standard answer from a lawyer that's representing ICANN saying, well, then they shouldn't enter into the contract. So we need to really be careful in crafting a language. Maybe word it more towards, you know, what happens if, you know, what happens if there's a change in national law while a contract is in place. How do we preserve the security and stability of the domain name space, especially of registrants, if all of a sudden a registrar is by national law forced to change its operations.
Yeah, and that's the difference between a contractual discussion and a policy discussion. So the contractual discussion basically says, here's the contract, you need to adhere to it, and the only way of changing that contract is by mutual agreement of the two parties to that contract. That's the pure legal definition. The policy definition would say that because developments in the external environment have changed, we need to review the policy, and so the GNSO would then recommend to the board changing the contract. And so that's a very different process to a legal process.
Right.
Thomas, Peter, I think I would add one aspect to the policy debate, and that is the question, what kind of contract should I can strive to enter into? It is a somewhat puzzling answer if I can't lawyers say, well, don't enter it. Contract. The other answer to the question is, of course, if the ICANN contract does not work in major jurisdictions, then ICANN has to fix its own side of the contractual.
Well, it doesn't actually have to fix it, Thomas. Yeah, that's the thing. Purely legally point of view, it doesn't. I mean, it has a contract and with various parties.
That's why I'm saying. The policy point is what ICANN should desire to have in the contract.
Yes.
The short, the policy short.
Yes.
Right. So, with all that in mind, let's get some questions that we would like ask next week. And again, I'd like to provide this to them by close of business on Friday. So that they can have the weekend and Monday to look at it, kind of prepare for their call on Tuesday.
Yeah, so Jeff, this is Jordan. Can I suggest that we ask that any members of the task force that would like to submit questions for us to provide to the general counsel do so by the end of the day on Thursday, so that Jeff and I can have a daily data compile them and get them to the GC.
Yeah, I think that's helpful. Okay. whoever that was, you okay? Okay. If you could, let's see, the next subject, Jordan, is, I'm trying to go back, sorry, to my attention.
The next subject is, I don't know whether it's the accuracy topic or the last week's.
I think it's the accuracy.
Yeah, okay.
So, again, this is kind of gets into what Bruce was talking about. For those of you who were a little bit later in joining the call, Bruce and Roth were having a little conversation. This is what was formerly who is Task Force 3. And there was a discussion in Cape Town, and Bruce sent an email earlier to the list on a kind of a recap of the discussion that took place in Cape Town. And Bruce, do you want to talk a little bit about that and what you see as the next step with that?
Well, I think the broad comments would be that there has been a lot of discussion in who is Task Force 3, and I guess that, you know, one of the approaches is that because some of the who is data is inaccurate, that registrars should be required to verify who is data at the time of registration. That then, of course, raises the issue that if it's only a few people that are providing inaccurate data, why impose that additional burden on in terms of cost on all registrants? The other issue, of course, is then maintenance of that, because often people change information and then you'd have to go through the same thing of perhaps verifying changes. So all in all, it could be a very expensive process. I think where the task force have moved to more generally is saying, rather than focus on verification at the time of registration or at the time of changes, that the emphasis be more on looking at what's the process for following up on a who is complaint. And there are a lot of differences in the way registrars respond to a who is complaint. Some, for example, will give 15 days for a person to reply, and if they don't reply, they then have they're then given 30 days notice that their agreement will be terminated, because the domain name is really part of an agreement between the registrar and the registrant. And so there's different approaches, and probably somewhere in the middle of those different approaches to say, well, instead of trying to delete the name in a hurry, the first action that might happen after the first 15 days could be to put the name on hold, which essentially would stop email and the website working, but the name is still in the control of the registrant. And then the registrant would have some further period of time to correct the information. And if they haven't responded within a further period of time, which might be 15, might be 30 days, then the name would eventually be cancelled. So that was just one example of a uniform process, and I guess we would need further input and comment from members of the task forces and council. The third area of discussion is really saying that there are a growing number of instances where a third party really wants the website or the email address to be stopped immediately. So 15 days or 40 days would not be appropriate. And I guess the most obvious examples of these is where there's direct harm occurring to consumers as a result of that activity. So it could be that there is a site that's set up as a banking website. People's credentials are being harvested on a fake website and then used to steal funds through the real bank. And that's something where, you know, a 40-day process would mean there's 40 days available for the effectively the fraud to continue. The issue is how is that handled? It's probably not really a security or stability issue of the DNS itself, but certainly is a consumer protection issue. And that was really just identifying that that issue was there and saying that we'd, the industry in the general sense would need to do further work to work out procedures for handling those cases.
Okay. Anyone who is on Task Force 3 previously, Ross, and others, do you have anything to add to that?
I don't think so, Jeff. This is Ross. I think that's a very fair summary of what we discussed previously.
Okay.
This is Steve Metallich. Could I get in the queue?
Sure. Steve and anybody else after Steve? Okay, Steve.
I was just going to say I was not in Cape Town, so I can't comment on the accuracy of the summary. But I think one other issue that's related to, I think, the second issue Bruce brought up is what happens when there is a complaint about who is data and the registrant provides new data, but that data is also false. And that's, again, a very common scenario. And so the issue of verification of data that's submitted after a complaint is received, I think, is another issue. It's distinct from the first issue about verifying at the time of registration. I think that's another issue that I know was discussed within Task Force 3, although I don't know if it was discussed at Cape Town.
Yeah, I think, Steve, I don't believe it was discussed in Cape Town, but certainly it's been discussed in Task Force 3, so I should add that to the list of points.
Okay, so there would be 4 points. Right? And so what was the resolution in Cape Town as far as moving further with work? Where was Task Force 3? Was there any report that was ever drafted?
There has been a number of, I guess, versions of a recommendation that have been drafted within that task force. I could seek to sort of look at my logs or have a look at the public logs and perhaps pass the latest version that had been posted as well. I guess we just need to pick up the work again. The work's really been, there really has been no work since Cape Town on this task force. And I think the intent was to bring it into a bigger group of people because within Task Force 3 it was suffering from, I guess, lack of participation more broadly. There was strong participation from the intellectual property and registrar groups, but fairly weak participation more generally, so we weren't really getting the benefit of the advice from all the constituencies.
Okay. Anybody have any other questions or comments on the statement?
Yes, I do, maybe. Yeah, I don't really know whether it has been discussed or not, but it was brought to our attention today on the mailing list from Tim Ruiz that we maybe should include another fifth point into that summary that we should define or figure out who the complainant is, because what can happen in reality is that some registrars might underlie some kind of a denial of service attack by complaints about who is data. So it's something we should discuss in the future as well, but if someone is complaining about false data, how we identify that that person is actually saying the truth and not just causing work.
Okay. Bruce, so who's the keeper of, Bruce, are you the keeper of this summary list?
Yeah, look, I'll try and keep the list and post an update. What I was really trying to do was capture the discussions that were in Cape Town, and I was doing it from memory, and I hope that others that were in Cape Town can comment and add anything I've missed. I guess it's a separate thing to get together the discussions that have been so far within that task force, and I'll try and collect the latest version of a document that I believe Brian Darville, who was chair of that task force, had been drafting, so I can collect the latest version of that as well.
I don't actually, Bruce, this is Ross, sorry if I'm interrupting here. I don't actually think that there is a latest version of any document that has any real standing within that task force. The last real thing we actually put forward was that preliminary report. And even that was somewhat controversial, so I'm not sure what... you might be able to get a collection of documents together that were being discussed, but nothing that has any sort of level of support,
okay.
Right?
So what was the preliminary document, Ross?
That was the preliminary report that is actually referenced in the document that was circulated at the beginning of the call.
So my recollections are the same as Ross's, Bruce, there. I don't think...
Okay, so and that's already been posted today, has a report that links to that.
Yeah, that's from July. We had, as part of the public session we had on the Who Is a couple of meetings ago.
Yeah, it was in July 2004.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess we just need to get back to a common point of reference and then move the work further forward from there with the larger group. So if I can find that document, I'll add the comments that we're picking up on this call, and we need to just sort of move it forward together, I think.
Yeah, it seems, this is Jordan, just as a suggestion of how to move ahead on this, it seems like we might want to take the Cape Town discussions and overlay that on top of, you know, as you suggest, on top of the whatever previous document Brian had made to start to get just, you know, some recommendations that could be presented on the list for some initial sort of reworking on the list.
Yeah, that's what I want to work towards. Yeah,
exactly. Then we could schedule some time in a call in a couple of weeks to actually have some interactive conversation on it.
Yes. Yeah. What I want to do is get to a, if you like, a revised set of recommendations that then the members of the task force can comment on. So that's what we need to get towards.
Okay. And then we also need to come up with a priority, because all of a sudden now we're combined in one task force and forces a number of different issues that we're kind of have up in the air. We need to get closure on some of them, or try to, and then kind of prioritize which issues we're going to get to first. That being said, why don't we, Jordan and Bruce, I know next we're supposed to talk about the issues from last week. We want to just quickly jump into, since we've been doing a lot of administrative stuff, jump into the meetings in Argentina and then go to the review of last week.
Yeah, that seems like a good idea.
Hi, it's Marilyn. Sorry I'm late.
Hi, Marilyn. Just in time to discuss what we're going to do in Argentina. So we'll turn over the phone to you. I'm just kidding. So seriously, actually, though, in Argentina, is the latest schedule put out by the ICANN, is it the one that's on the website now, or is it still changing?
I'm not online, so if you can tell me what's on the website, I can tell you what I know about the latest agenda.
Oh, okay. That was actually a question to the group.
Does Glenn and Maria know whether it's the latest agenda?
I'm afraid I don't know.
Okay, I'm going on the website to see if they've updated it.
The reason I ask is there was an agenda that was shared with some of the folks who are trying to plan with this event, a partial schedule and a strategic consultation. But I didn't have, and that had not been updated on the website.
Yeah,
I took it that it wasn't final yet.
Yeah, the website did change the constituency day from Tuesday to Monday, GNSO constituency day. But other than that, I don't see any other things on there. And Marilyn, you had sent a note saying that
Right. Bruce came back to me on the because I had asked the question about the ICANN staff, specifically. Paul Toomey had discussed the idea of a workshop, which would be a community-wide workshop, and the topic is DNS and other security issues. And Bruce had talked to Paul about what the topic was at my request, because my point was, if it's a workshop that is you know, broadly applicable to many of us, we couldn't be able to have a who is working group at the same time. All he told me, I didn't get the time that they planned to start, but all he told me was that it is what the topic was, and that he personally would be tied up in that. Bruce is actually on the call. Good. And maybe Bruce knows more then.
I think what's likely to happen, I've just, it's one of these things, bouncing back and forwards with emails. I've just got an email from Diane Schroeder. I think most likely what we're going to get at this stage is the GNSO Council will have access to a meeting room all of Sunday, and that it's most likely that we'll run a who is meeting in that meeting room on the Sunday for all members of task forces and the council. And the objective of that would be to basically be a working meeting to really try and move each of the issues forward.
And Bruce, in addition to that, we would have those other two meetings that you talked about? Yeah.
Yes, that's right. I got a response back. Suzanne was on the call earlier, and she said that I think Christopher is kind of scheduled between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. for a meeting with the GAC. So I'm thinking probably the who is meeting might be between, say, 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., and then the GNSO council would have a planning session probably from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. It's just a kind of rough schedule. But what I was trying to do is get access to a room for the whole day, and then the GNSO council can manage the time within that room.
Right. Do you know what time the workshop on security is starting on Tuesday?
I don't, but I think given the range of topics that Paul Toomey talked about, I'm guessing it's probably 2 to 3 hours. So, you know, you could assume it's probably 9 to 12.
Yeah, so there's no time.
Yeah, if it was like just a one-hour workshop or something, I think you could fit other things in, but I'm suspecting it's the whole morning. And so pretty much when I look at the agenda, I would say that Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday are all plenary sessions for everybody, pretty much. And so Monday is the only day for separate meetings. And Monday, most of us are tied up with constituency meetings, so that really leaves us with Sunday. So I think it's an unfortunate side effect of the different changes that have been made. But basically, Sunday and Monday are the only days left to have working meetings. And then everything else is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are plenary sessions.
Not that this helps the task force right now, but you probably saw my email suggesting that at council we take up the issue of how we can provide input to the staff earlier, taking into account the needs of all the SOs rather than leaving it to the staff to just guess about what our needs are.
Well, not
yeah, I think my perception of what's happened is that in previous ICANNs, the last couple of days have been public forums and the board meeting has been on the following morning. The complaint apparently has been that board members and particularly ICANN staff have then worked all night on the last night to prepare for the board. So what they've done is cleared their agenda on the afternoon before the board meeting to do all that work, but then effectively pushed everyone back.
Yeah, the other
whereas I think the better approach would have been to shift the board meeting.
I think that's exactly right. The other problem is that a number of us have to make our travel arrangements way before, you know, a month in advance or 3 weeks in advance now.
I know.
Yes.
And so that's a huge cost for individual businesses and others that are planning to attend to change everything.
Yeah, that's agreed, yeah.
We can use this as a lesson for Luxembourg so we don't repeat these.
Yes, I think that's exactly right, Ken.
Crazy. You know, there's no reason why can't have everything locked up at least a full month or 6 weeks beforehand. Because summer airfares and accommodations in Europe are just terrible, so it's even more important then.
Okay, so the plan then, Bruce, can you send us the task force list open times on Sunday that you think we can schedule a meeting? Okay. And the meeting that you envision is for the task force and members of the council?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
But not necessarily an open meeting?
It won't be an open meeting. No, it will be in a meeting room for the members of the task forces and the council. The outcomes of that meeting will be reported in the Genocide Public Forum on Wednesday morning.
Bruce, this is Steve Metalich. Could I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, Steve.
Do you anticipate that this meeting on Sunday, people could participate by teleconference?
I see no reason why not, other than just logistics. So, if that's a request and there's enough people interested, then we could certainly organise a teleconference bridge for that meeting room. I think we're probably going to need it anyway, because I think the council in the afternoon will probably want to have teleconferences in too.
And we need to make sure that Diane knows that well in advance so they don't assign us to a meeting room where we can't conference in.
Yes. Is Glenn on this call?
Yes, Glenn. I am, and I've already asked that there be a polycom phone and a line in that room, Bruce.
Yeah, and we need it for the whole day.
Yes.
We may need a polycom that's got a bunch of different speakers. A bunch of different microphones. In the past, sometimes we've gotten a polycom with one microphone in the middle of a big room. It's been hard to hear joining the conference.
Yes, I see to that.
A la Amsterdam.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Okay, so I've got to leave the call now, guys. So this is Bruce Tonka signing out.
Thanks, Bruce. What we'll do over the next week or so is we'll think about how we're going to structure that, the time, the meeting. I'll talk to Bruce and George, and we'll figure out the best time. And Bruce said we're going to report on the results of that meeting during the public forum. We're also going to report on what we've been doing leading up to that meeting as well. So it's not just going to be, I don't want to overemphasize the importance of that meeting. You know, policy is created on the list as much as it is in these meetings. So, Jordan, you still on?
Yep. I am.
Okay. Do you want to, you had the lead last week on the organized, I'm sorry, is that Ken?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make one thing clear. Ross, are you still on the call? I guess Ross isn't on the call.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming that the majority of the work that will be moving forward over the next 30 days will be principally that relates to working group one or two. We still got a long way to go in number three. And I hate to think that it's just getting folded in at the very last minute. Maybe I'm wrong there, so I appreciate a little clarification.
So before we get into a long, drawn-out discussion on that, let's see the documents Bruce is putting together, is kind of summarizing everything, and we'll address it on the next call. I don't anticipate us moving very quickly on that kind of stuff. We all have to be informed of what's going on first.
Yeah, I mean, it seems unlikely. It seems almost, just given the time frame, it seems almost impossible that we would be able to agree upon recommendations within the task force prior to Mar del Plata. So,
this is Steve Metalich. I agree with that, but I don't agree that this should not be the work that was in Task Force 3 should not be a priority. So I think it should be a priority. I agree that we won't probably reach agreement on anything before Buenos Aires, before Argentina.
I didn't want to get into a drawn-out.
That's the point I was trying to make, Steve.
Okay.
Okay. So we'll get that report. We'll get the status report. We'll get the documents. We'll figure out how to move forward from there. Jordan, you want to go over last week's call and issues that started discussion and issues that we got out of that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we did have an opportunity last week to have six presentations from three registries that provide, or are contemplating providing, or have negotiated to provide, or something, some sort of differentiated access for WHOIS data. We had presentations from .ca, .de, as well as .name, and we also had some presentations from registrars who provide proxy services. And this is part of our ongoing sort of data gathering and input gathering process. And I think it was a we did have a fairly good dialogue with each of the participants or each of the presenters, and I think now we do have a little bit of time scheduled in the call now. I think where we could have some we could see to the extent that shaped our opinions about tiered access or you know, just begin to have some more substantive discussion on the tiered access piece, which is where we've been doing a fair bit of work, but we don't yet you know, have anything in the way of recommendations that are ready for action by the task force. So initially, I'll leave it as broad as that to see if people do have, you know, just general reactions, and then there's a few sort of more specific questions I could pose to the task force after we do that. Unless no one has general feedback or reactions to last week.
I just had a question. So we should go ahead and develop the rest of our planned interview list, probably online, beyond those we've already talked to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're right, Marilyn. To the extent we want to, we've talked about two other specific presenters that we might like to have present. One is on the topic of tiered access. In particular, another similar provider, and that's .au, and which Bruce Tongan brought to the attention of the task force. And we've also discussed having the Security and Stability Advisory Committee chair or some members thereof present to the task force on the security and stability implications, which other than that, I don't think we've identified any other specific.
I think I had suggested we should include a representative of the RIRs as well. But we probably that's one leg of the work of gathering information about existing mechanisms or approaches. The other, and then there's the security and stability representatives. We probably also need to be thinking about who from government we need to hear from. In the last task force, we heard from a wide range of government speakers, including consumer protection, privacy, law enforcement, etc. And I would assume we need to hear from a group of folks. I think we also heard from the Article 29 group from Europe, as well as the European Commission.
This is Suzanne. Could I get in the queue, please?
Yeah, Suzanne, anyone else want to be in the queue?
Yeah, I would like to be in the queue, Tom
Keller. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Suzanne.
Thank you. It's a little bit before my time, but if I recall, there was a specific meeting targeted to WHOIS policy issues in Montreal,
right.
And I believe there were a variety of government representatives that gave presentations. Is that the kind of thing you're looking for this time around? I think it would be useful to get some feedback as to how you want to structure some government contribution.
I think this is a good dialogue for us to have. I wanted to just put the topic on the table. I'm glad you're on the phone. I didn't know if you were still on or not. I wanted to just put the topic on the table for all of us to think about what is the best and most productive way, because I think we've learned in the past that random questions kind of aren't the right way to approach the government folks.
Right.
And Marilyn, I wasn't involved with the previous WHOIS task force. I know maybe other members of the task force weren't as well. Could you just explain the what you did in Montreal?
Sure.
or gathering government input previously?
Sure. We did this on more than one occasion. So we typically did sort of panels of presenters, and we would invite different people to be on the panel and speak from their perspective in an organized way. And for the most part, we were able to do that, you know. So, for instance, John Legalbo, Suzanne,
uh-huh.
was one of the presenters, I think in Montreal. And he just explained how the Department of Justice cybersecurity team used WHOIS. So it was a factual presentation. The Article 29 presentation and the contribution from the commission was more on the policy side of what their views were about the uses of WHOIS. But it wasn't restricted to one view. It was an effort to invite in a wide group of people from government who have different views.
Could I get in the queue here? This is Milton.
Yeah. Suzanne, do you have anything else? Or?
Well, actually, I am glad that we're discussing this because I have found that there's a variety of experiences around the GAC table. Some GAC members actually don't know what their country's position is, I mean, to be quite candid. Other countries send representatives from particular ministries who represent the view of that particular ministry. Even in the U.S. government, it is not entirely clear to us. There is a huge interagency group that meets, that we chair and we brief people. It isn't even clear to us whether we could come up with a consensus USG position, because different agencies are representing different, you know, very particular perspectives. So I'd like to better understand, so with fairness, as I go back to the GAC, I can present the request in the clearest possible way so that we can discuss it as a GAC working group, how best to respond to what, you're seeking.
Yeah, thanks, Suzanne. So to the extent the task force decides that it would like input from the GAC, we'll definitely try to keep that in mind as we solicit your input. And I'm sure that, we'll talk in a few moments, I think, as to where and how we might try to do that.
Okay.
Thanks. Tom and then Milton.
Yes, thank you, Jordan. There's a question I would like to ask to Mel on this. What exactly is this whole consultation process is for? As she already elaborated herself on, is that we already had a consultation process about what different state agencies use WHOIS for and what certain privacy groups think about it and so on. And I'm kind of confused because right now we're in a stadium where we could maybe ask a little bit more concrete question about what do you think about tiered access. But we can't really explain what our thoughts about tiered access are. So shouldn't we put a little bit more work into that, to defining how we imagine how such an approach could be before we tackle all this consultation process again? Because if we do it the way we've done it before, it will take us a couple more months, and we will end up with, well, some people think that, some people think differently. And I don't think if that is a good way, I'm not sure whether this is a good way to push the whole thing forth or not, because we're dealing with it for the last 2 years now, and I'm pretty sure that most of the participants in this group know the pros and cons pretty well. So I'm not really sure whether we need this consultation process at this point of time.
Thanks, Tom. Marilyn, did you want to respond to that? Because I think I started with a question to you.
I just want people to listen to what I said, and I think that I'm not comfortable that happened. I said that we need to put a question on the table of when we consult with government and what we ask them. I didn't say we should do it tomorrow or that we should do it at this meeting. I just said that we need to consult with government. I think that the points that Tom said are important and valid, and in the spirit of, having a dialogue with all the task force, that's why I raised the question. I don't think we can assume that consultation taken at a different stage is specific enough to the work we're doing. But on the other hand, I don't have a firmly held opinion about when we take the consultation.
So, can I get in, Keith Jordan?
Are you on the same topic still?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, just go ahead and follow up.
It just makes you wonder at where we are in the process in some way. So I'm just more interested in how we're going to move on right now. I mean, consultation is a good thing, and I guess we all agree on that. But the thing I'm really interested in is, what are we going to do prior Mardi Plata and a couple of months afterwards? Are we engaging into consultation now? Maybe I'm just unclear about what you suggest, Marilyn.
Jordan, can you stick me in the queue? I've got a clarifying question.
Yeah, sure thing. Let me move on to Milton and then to Ross.
Well, I think some of my concerns were the same ones that Thomas articulated, but I think I have a specific take on how we could go forward. Thomas is correct that, and drawing on the comments of Suzanne, I think the governments would be very confused at this point if we simply ask them for a general consultation about tiered access. What we need to do, in my opinion, is gather information from people who have specific expertise or things to contribute on the topic of tiered access, such as, you know, the government of Canada, which seems to have implemented it, or maybe the .UK registry, which gives people an opt-out option, or the government of Australia, which I think is involved in some kind of consideration of that. And I agree that with Thomas that we have to be giving not only governments but anybody we consult with something specific to consult about, because it's one thing to ask these governments about how they use the existing system, but we're proposing a change, and nobody really knows exactly what the change will mean. So in order to get any consultation or information, we have to have something specific that we're proposing. And it has to be a little more specific than just the concept of tiered access. We have to have some notion of how you get from one tier to the other and who is eligible and so on and so forth. So I think that Marilyn's response indicated that she would not disagree with that idea that we need to time. Everybody would agree that we need to consult with government and everybody else, but I think it's a question of where we are in the stage, and I think that's what is giving Thomas trouble.
Thanks, Milton. Ross?
I'm just looking to get up to speed as one of the new guys in the group. What is the exact consultation that we're discussing here? We're looking to consult with whom on what subject?
Yeah, well, I think...
Or is that what we're discussing?
Actually, we've had I think we are discussing that, and I think also we did have... I don't know if you were able to participate, but last week we did have a session where we solicited various registries and registrars to present what they're currently doing.
Yes, I was on that call, yeah.
Yeah, so that's one form of feedback that we went out and solicited, and I guess Marilyn has suggested that we might want to, that there may be other types of feedback we might want to solicit. And we seem to have veered off into a discussion of how or whether we might want to do that at this time.
All right, thank you. Consider me up to speed then.
Thanks. Anyone else in...
This is Steve Metallis. Can I get the cue?
Okay, Steve. Someone else?
Suzanne.
And George. Yeah.
Jeff? Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I think we have a list. I mean, we kind of have some unfinished business with .au and with the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. Could we maybe try to pick a date, maybe 2 weeks from now, when we would try to get them on our call? I know with .au there might be a time zone issue, I guess, but could we move ahead to, because I think we're agreed we wanted to talk with them, could we kind of try to get that pinned down? And then, you know, I agree we need to think about further consultation, but this would at least complete our, you know, this wave of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Suzanne?
Yes, I just wanted to share with everybody, in case I hadn't previously, that not only the GAC Working Group on GNSO, but actually the entire GAC is very, very interested in understanding more about the CRISP IRIS protocol and how that might work. And it may well be that we could give some thought as we meet as GNSO Council with Task Force people and my working group, how to structure some kind of an exchange so that the GAC is better informed as to what kind of policy guidance or feedback ICANN community and industry is seeking from government. Because I recall being very mindful of the techies when they gave their presentation as to the status of the IETF protocol. They don't want to be the ones who decide what information goes into what category and who should have access. I think there may be a way that we could fashion a series of questions that sort of helps move the discussion ahead a little bit further.
Thanks, Suzanne. I think you're right. The sense I'm getting from you then, Suzanne, is the more specific we can be, and I think this is what Marilyn indicated as well in terms of questions to government, the more likely we are to be able to get helpful responses. Is that
right?
A fair summary? Okay.
Exactly.
Any other comments? Okay, so we've moved a little bit away from talking about... our session last time, which is fine. I think where we've moved to is a discussion of work plan in terms of progress on tiered access. Now, Steve suggested that a next work plan item might be to try to finish up our consultation with .au and security and stability team 2 weeks from now. Which is essentially our last meeting slot prior to Argentina. I think there would be, this 2 p.m. time slot turns out to be 6 a.m. in Australia. Is that right, Glenn?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so it does seem, it might be a little early still to be able to get the .au folks involved, although Bruce very generously wakes up very early in the morning on a regular basis to participate in these types of calls. But the other thing I was thinking in regards to Milton and Tom Keller's comments is it does seem that it would be helpful for us to be able to continue sort of the substantive dialogue and on being able to turn some of this data gathering work into further refining or further work on in terms of specific recommendations, and I think in terms of showing some progress at Mar del Plata, maybe having at least some substantive dialogue prior to Mar del Plata seems like it might be useful. So I might suggest that we might try to arrange 2 weeks from today for a somewhat longer call in which we could try to see what sort of input we could get from .au. And the CSAC specifically on the tiered access piece, and then also engage in some discussion, bringing people up to speed, particularly new members of the task force in terms of the work done by Task Force 1 and 2 in terms of recommendations, as well as previous work done in terms of models and so on, and engage in some dialogue about where we are in terms of the feeling of various task force representatives about some of the tentative recommendations that were made, for example, by Task Force 1 and 2 on tiered access, and start to have some of that substantive dialogue as well, because I don't think there's really any tension between continuing to gather data and starting to refine some of our recommendations. So I guess I'm suggesting what's the date today? I'm very confused. 2 weeks.
Guess,
2 weeks from today would be the 22nd, and so a 2-hour time slot on the 22nd devoted to tiered access, including ideally presentations from AU and the CSAC on the topic of tiered access.
Well, this is Steve Misalitz. Could I suggest that we also reserve some time there if we're bringing everybody up to date to bringing the Task Force 1 and 2 people up to date on the accuracy issue?
I'd like
to try to get that in next week.
I think Jeff had already suggested that we try it in next week.
I apologize. I didn't know what we had planned for next week.
We have a call with the General Counsel, but I can't imagine our conversation taking longer than 45 minutes to an hour. So... have the status of the accuracy for that one.
Yeah, and Bruce is committed to try to sort of pull together some of the work on from Task Force 3 prior to that.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Well, yeah, I might have another comment.
Yeah, Tom, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Tom.
Thank you. I just want to say that even though it might not be a recommendation we can put out until the next ICANN meeting, but maybe we could use the time between the two calls we still have to have in the future and work out on a list rationale about what we need if we want to have tiered access. It's just a little bit playing around with the idea what factors or what things would be needed if we would decide to implement it. Or not even implement it, but for example, if we want to have tiered access, one of the problems we run into is how do we authenticate people? And we just make a list during the next 2 or 3 weeks, you know, where we identify all the problems that will come up once we may decide or not whether to go down this path.
Tom, can I get in the queue?
Yeah, Marilyn, anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Marilyn.
I think it's fair to say, okay, we're going to identify the unanswered questions, but it really is premature to say that we, as a task force, have embraced tiered access as a solution. But I think we ought to do an examination of the questions that are raised about any form of tiered access, authentication being one of those questions. For proxy services, I think there are questions that should be asked as well, and we ought to try to identify those because that will help us as well in our discussion with this, whoever Steve presents from the Security and Stability Advisory Committee and anyone else who is presenting. I think it would be helpful to the task force to have that list of shared questions developed.
Yeah, unfortunately, we do have the list of questions and decision tree that was created in Kuala Lumpur, which I think we've come back to a couple times, but it does essentially contain a list of questions. And what might be helpful would be to overlay that with some of the data points that we've already gathered, and essentially, maybe not too verbosely, but if there's a question and we think that we've already at least had either discussion or had presentations or some facts brought to our attention related to that, to identify those so that we don't have to, act ignorantly if we've already gathered some information on it. So I'll certainly endeavor first of all, send the decision tree back out to task force members with the questions, and then as a follow-up to that, to start to try to identify places where we have done data gathering, or there is some factual basis maybe for starting to try to answer that question. And certainly I think that's a collaborative effort that I may miss things, and I encourage people to look at those questions and point out where points of information that may be helpful to answer them. And also which ones in particular we might want to refer to, we might want to pose to the representative of the CSEC.
So are we keeping the 2 p.m. time call, time frames in for next week and the week after that?
Yeah, that's correct. Up at least through Mar del Plata, we're just keeping this 2 p.m. Slot so that Bruce can participate. And hopefully so, .au will be able to participate in a couple weeks.
And so in the couple weeks, we would try to have Steve first and then Bruce.
Yeah, that's the idea, yes.
Okay.
Before we have the SNAC, do you have an idea of what exactly they're going to speak to? Because I don't think they're going to speak to anything regarding the Secure Act. I think the only thing the group has discussed is accuracy of who is information that came out with that one statement. But not to make us go backwards a little bit, but do we have an idea why we want the SNAC at all coming in?
Well, I would suggest a couple of things, Jeff. I know that we, in the past that we have, I know that various members of the task force have pointed to the CSAC statement on who is, and I'm not conversant with it enough off the top of my head to say whether it relates purely to accuracy or it's a general statement about availability of who is data. But perhaps to have them, specifically with regards to tiered access, maybe clarify whether limiting public access to who is data might have any security and stability concerns.
If that's it, and I don't disagree with that, if that's it, then we should be sending a question to them, give the YesDAC time to discuss that with amongst themselves, because I don't think there's any one person in YesDAC that can speak to that, or that should speak to that without probably with the other members.
Yeah, so I think you're right that we do want to identify questions in advance for them. So I think that's one. And once again, this might be an area where we simply encourage task force members to submit questions that we can provide to them in advance. And I think if we look back at the decision tree, we may see other things there that seem relevant to for their consideration.
Can I ask a question about the Security and Stability Advisory Committee?
Yes,
what is their process for coming up with statements? Is whatever Steve Crocker happens to think at the moment becomes a statement, or do they have a defined process by which the members actually agree on a statement? Because, you know, these statements of theirs, which are extremely vague and not terribly pertinent, and frankly, I don't think the people on that advisory committee have any more expertise on policy trade-offs than anybody on this committee, but nevertheless, because of the so-called technical expertise of this group, their statements are sometimes taken as godlike pronouncements by some others and used in that respect. I just want to make sure that we don't get into that trap again. I mean, if we're talking about policy trade-offs between rights of access versus, you know, law enforcement versus privacy, let's just make it very clear that we're not interested in their opinions about that. If they want to talk to us about how various kinds of solutions to tiered access problems might mess up the compatibility across registrars, then I'd be very interested. But I would hope that whatever questions we address to that committee would be narrowly focused on technical matters that they have expertise on.
This is Steve. Can I get in the queue?
Hey, Steve, anyone else?
Can I get in the queue?
Marilyn. Okay, go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I don't think we're actually asking that committee for a pronouncement. I mean, they've made a statement on who is, and I think we should circulate that again. But I think this is informal, and I think if we can give them questions in advance that they can provide us some insights on. I don't think anyone is assuming that what they say is gospel, but I think they probably have some perspectives that would be useful. And I think they do have a process for making formal statements, but this is not what we're seeking at this point. They've already made a formal statement on who is a year or two ago.
Yeah, thanks, Stephen. I think that perhaps I think Milton's right that sometimes the statements may be a little vague, and perhaps just adding some clarity, at least from the perspective of the representatives that may show up, seems like it might be useful. But I think you're also right, Milton, in pointing out that we all, security and stability is a consideration in the policy making process, not the only consideration. And there's obviously trade-offs. Marilyn?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a point about I think we should go ahead and make the contact with Steve, and just to reinforce the statement that Steve made, when they issue formal statements, they do have a process. But I wanted to make a point more about timing. My understanding is that they are going to be working on putting this workshop together, so there may be an availability challenge until after Mar de Plata, and perhaps it would be good to outreach to them and ask that question and be prepared to be flexible if they're not able to address our question to them until after Mar de Plata.
Okay. Yeah, I agree, Marilyn. Obviously, this is the day 2 weeks from now is when ideally, from the task force perspective, we'd like to be able to meet with both AU and CSAC. But if availability on their end precludes the possibility, we'll figure out a new date to have that consultation.
Yeah. But you know, we might when you reach out to them, George and Jeff, you might ask if a number of them are coming to Mar del Plata. That they are, if they're putting this workshop together, it might be an opportunity to have an informal conversation with a number of members of the Security and Stability Advisory Group.
Yeah, you make a good point. Unfortunately, I don't know, an item that Marilyn had pointed out earlier to the list I think that is useful would be for task force members to indicate whether they plan on attending Mar del Plata to Glenn, so that she can keep a roster, so we can see what likely participation from the task force is going to be like, to see how well, what the level of participation would likely be like in task force-related events that we tried to organize in Mar del Plata. Because if there is going to be good representation from both the security side and the task force, that seems like it would be a valuable opportunity. Okay, so I think we have the agenda set for the next 2 weeks. Bruce is planning on putting together some sort of working recommendations or working document from the accuracy work. I'm going to resubmit the decision tree and start the process of linking some of our fact-finding and discussion to various elements on that decision tree, as well as reaching out to both the CSAC and .au for a potential meeting 2 weeks from today. In either case, we will have a substantive discussion regarding tiered access in a couple of weeks. We've also talked about some of our scheduling for Mar del Plata. So I think we have at least a short-term work plan for the next few weeks.
And we're putting together questions.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Jeff, you're right. And yes, please do submit the questions that you may have that you'd like us to pose, that you'd like to pose to the ICANN staff regarding their letter, which should be resubmitted today to us on our local law recommendations. The cutoff for those questions is Thursday, end of the day on Thursday. Okay, that concludes our agenda for today. Does anyone have any last-minute orders of business, or we can wrap up this call? Okay, we'll wrap up. Thanks, everyone, for participating, and we'll speak with you all again and the staff next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.